morning, good afternoon, good evening. Hello, Josh Accardo, the SP Podcast, coming right at you, right in your face, right in your fucking face. Here in New York City, behind me, as always, you hear the train, because I live right by a train, because that's how classy I am. And we had a bombing here a couple days back. They have since caught the guy. As you know, the episodes aren't live, so if there's any new development in this information, it's probably because I recorded this on a Monday, and it's released Tuesday, Wednesday. So, don't worry. I'm here as of now. But yeah, we're pushing on, baby. New York City. Speaking of taking life by the balls and living it, I have on a guest today that embodies that whole phrase. I have on Saldano. Saldano is the proprietor, the soul behind the very, very well-known Florence restaurant, La Giostra. I went there a couple years back with my fiance, soon-to-be wife, and I was looking at pictures on the wall, a lot of famous people. Rocco Siffredi, the porn star, caught my eye, and then from then on, more mainstream famous people. And there was this guy in the picture that I recognized to be in all of them, and then I looked to my left, and all of a sudden I'm talking to the guy, and it's this guy, it's Saldano. Interesting guy, treated me like family, really, really was a big part of why, to me, Florence is my favorite city in the world, besides New York, because I live here, and also why on my travels, I will be seeing him again very soon, and going to that restaurant when I'm back in Italy in a month. So, I had to have him on, got him on, and he did not disappoint. Saldano, obviously, his first language is not English, but still, he fucking kills it, and you can understand him completely, and he was amazing. It's one of my favorite interviews because, not only that, the guy, like, one of my favorites because he's in the restaurant when he does the interview. In fact, they're closing, and he took the time. It was late there, probably like midnight. He took the time to speak with me, and he couldn't be more of a humble and gracious person. Just a good sport all around. And I want to shout out Mallory, his publicist, because she made sure it all got arranged properly, and she was right there with him the whole time. Listen, Saldano's awesome. This guy's great. You're going to love him. Take a listen. All right, all right. Welcome to the show. Josh Accardo special. The SP Podcast in the house. I'm really ecstatic right now because I have someone that I'm interviewing today that's my guest that I've been not only trying to get him on the show for a long time, but he's someone that means a lot to me, even though him and I, we're not related, we don't really talk to each other, but he's made an influence on me and my artistic life, if you will. So I'm very happy to welcome the proprietor and the face of La Giostra, Saldano. Now, did I get close, Saldano? I got close, right? I'm there.
You got super close. You got perfect, man.
So, thank you, man. I know you you're about 6 hours ahead of me, so I know you worked a full night in the restaurant, and now you're taking some time to talk to me, so I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Don't worry. It's my pleasure, man. I'm sending away all my clients, so now we have time for us. Don't worry.
Perfect. So, to give the audience some context, all my listeners, I went to Italy about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago. I'm an American, Italian, I'm Sicilian, so I went to Italy and it was life-changing. Florence became my favorite city in all of Europe, and Saldano is one of the reasons why. We obviously I do a show with Marine Van Zant, as you all know, who husband Steven Van Zant from the East Street Band.
And I know that.
You know her. You do?
You know him very well, yeah.
Yes. So Steven and Maureen are we've talked before, and I actually was like, well, you know, we kind of were talking about where to go, and I just heard a bunch of Americans mentioning your restaurant. I go, oh, let's go there. So me and my now fiance went there, and out of the clear, I'm looking at the wall, and what's so great is on the wall there's all these great pictures of people, and Saldano, I didn't see him sitting there. So Saldano kind of holds – you hold court, man. You like really hold court in that restaurant. You are like the face. You're sitting in this chair. I remember this so vividly, and I see Rocco the porn star.
Yeah, of course. You know, this is a restaurant for big size.
So then I'm like looking at my fiance and I go, look, it's Rocco. And then Solano hears me and he goes, everyone recognizes Rocco. So from right from that giddy up, like, and then I recognized Bruce was in there with Steven and the band. And I was like, damn. And so Saldana and I, we start talking and I kind of get a little glimpse into your life. We talk about your motorcycles. We talk about your jewelry because you're just a very distinct guy. And it was 20 minutes out of my life with you. And then I sat down and ate and you tended to us and you were, I mean, like you do to everybody, but it just, you had this thing about you, man. You really made me feel special in that moment. And coming from another country, it was just like, I got to thank you, and I'm so happy that we're talking now, man. So that's how I got Saldana on the show.
You're too kind, man. You're too kind. But that's what I learned from my family. You know, they teach me that the guests are guests, so I'm trying to treat my guests like friends, not like my guests.
Yeah.
No, what happens to you, thank God, the right person.
So let's start from the beginning. At what point in your life did you decide that you were going to put all of your energy into the restaurant business? I mean, do you come from a family that does that kind of business? Because I feel like you're a kind of guy that you could probably have been anything. So what made you choose the restaurant business?
No, I didn't. I never choose that. I choose because, you know, life. Because my father used to be winemaker for 50 years.
Okay.
He was one of the most famous in Tuscany, by the way. But he always liked to cook, so he always hang out in other restaurants in Italy to sell the wine. And he was sneaking in the kitchen to have fun with the cooks because they're all his friends, you know?
Yeah.
Because he loved to cook. So one day he left the company to his sister, which owns one of the biggest Italian company of wine, which is Ruffino Folonari. You probably know her because it's the biggest company. And then he started to hang around. But when I finished the school, we opened this place together. Because he loved to cook and he liked to please my friends. So we start with the friends. They were coming here just to eat finally to my father, not just for special occasion, but whatever they like.
Yeah.
And then where everything start from, you know.
So when you were growing up, you went to college in Italy as well, university?
I did everything, but we start when I was very, very young, until 6 years old. I was growing up in the countryside, in the castle, where my father used to make wine.
Uh-huh.
Then when I had to start to go school, I came back to Florence, where my parents are from, and I start to go school, and I'm going to school in Florence and to the countryside just to hang out the weekends. And now I live in here all the time, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so when you were young, you were already kind of immersed in not only your own culture, which is the very rich culture, but also from your father's business alone, being a winemaker. I'm sure in those moments growing up, that was kind of part of you, right? Like learning the process of how to make something.
No, man. Also, we were living in the country with all the peasant and the people that work for him there. So besides what my father was teaching us, which the father is always the father, so he's not exactly... But you're living there, really. So you like to help the people that you know there. Your friends were like in the big cellar to work. So you like to go there and work with them, even if you shouldn't. But it was so fun.
Yeah.
So we start to learn these things since like I start to drink wine when I was 3 years old, you know.
Yeah.
And my father teach me how to recognize the good tannin, the good alcoholic, the good things, blah, blah, blah. So actually, I don't even really drink now besides tasting wine because I don't care about alcohol anymore because I had that before the time, you know?
Yeah.
When, you know, for all my friends in school, having to drink champagne for Christmas was a crazy night. For me, it was like, oh, Christmas, just for Christmas, I do every day. You know, for me, it was like I didn't get why it was such important things for them.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, it was like something actually getting make me bored because I couldn't take anymore, you know. So that's why I start to get into it.
So basically, you were at such a young age prone to wine and it was your family business. So you learned about wine, you knew about it, and all this to people, it was like a special occasion to drink champagne or wine. And for you, it was like, hey, man, I've been working all day drinking wine. Just need
to, yeah, exactly.
Just get that out of my face.
They was trying to train me, my grandfather, to train me like understand wine and drink wine. I won, probably I was looking for Coca-Cola or some shit like this. So I was like, oh, very good, very good. But I didn't care, you know. I was so small, you know. So they were like, me taste, not too much, because it was telling me if you drink too much when you're young, you don't grow up. You know, they was trying to keep me away from that.
Yeah.
But that's the way I start to drink. So, and also not just the wine, because they were teaching me also how to cook in relation with the wine. They were teaching me why the Tuscany wine is so different from the rest of the world wine, because our wine is the wine that you can drink it 3 times a day with no problem. Mm-hmm. And when you drink wine from other country or from kind, you know, it's like one glass is enough for all night.
Yeah.
For us, you can drink 2 bottles and you're still okay, because then you go work and you're not drunk.
Because no sulfates, right? Is that because?
No, there's no sulfates. Also, we like a very very long taste, but not like a big explosion in the mouth. We like to get the taste. The more you drink, the more you understand about wine. Not the one glass. It's like, otherwise it's cognac. It's not wine.
Yeah.
No, for us in Tuscany, wine is an aliment. Is it correct to say that?
Yes,
it's
yes.
Have, you have bread, meat, pasta, wine. It's the same thing. It's not wine. It's not an exception. It's something that belongs to your diet, regular diet. So people pregnant get wine in Tuscany, and kids can taste it, and I have to get drunk, of course. It's not like everybody drink. At least in my time. Now everybody's scared of everything.
Yeah, that's right. Isn't that fucking crazy, man, that we live in such a PC now society, especially here in America, where people make – the thing is, like, okay, in where I'm from and what I'm going through now as an artist, as a comic, as a filmmaker, as an actor, is I'm dealing with people that make money off of telling you something's bad for you, right? Like, you got the people that tell you this is – you can't say this, you can't say that, and you got the people out there that are trying to say this and say that, and they're against each other, but everyone's trying to line their pockets with it. And you come from a place where – you live a life and you learn how to live a life, and through the course of having good guidance from your family, you understand that, hey, you know, I mean, I drink because I understand it. I know what it is that I'm drinking. This is a part of the culture and life. It's not about hiding behind like your sorrows and drinking to cure something. You know, that's amazing that you're able to have that.
No, yeah, we are very lucky here because, especially Tuscany, I have to say, but all Italy, at least once. I don't know now because the world is changing too much with Googles, but in my times, life is everything. So everything belongs to life. There's not like a big exception, big strange things. You know, you have to understand everything, and everything belongs to you. So in this way, you have very wide open view of life. Otherwise, you know, the thing that people hide to you is the one you're always looking more for, you know?
Yeah.
And that's okay for kids, but it's bullshit to grown-up people, you know?
Yeah.
Now that, you know, the big company, the powerful people, they like to keep ignorant the people so they can manage better.
Yes.
Even the small things, you know, like, I don't know what's going on in the world. I don't know if probably it's the insurance that don't let you do whatever you like because they have to pay money. I don't know what's the problem. But it's so different from when I grown up, you know, about it. So different.
Yeah. So you did you go to culinary school, or this is all learned from the family? It was all brought up through family?
No, I've never been in any school. I just learned everything from my dad.
Wow.
That's why all I know is about what I like. I'm not a perfect cook like the people that go to the school. I just know to do whatever I like, and in my restaurant, I do what I like.
Mm-hmm.
Finish of my restaurant. My restaurant is like my house, as I told you before. So I guess my guests, like not like clients, but like my friends.
Yeah, no, they really are.
I'm trying. I don't know if I really can make it, but that's what I'm trying to do.
You're
to make
killing
them feel
it, man.
Homey, you know?
Yeah, no, you do that. So that's what I think that's why it made such an impression on me, that over a year and a half later, I am dying to talk to you so I can make sure that people who follow me and hear and respect what I say, they're hearing your... They're hearing your story too, and that's really important to me because of what you do. See, no schooling, and you run this restaurant. For people out there, I mean, everyone's going to look it up once we plug it and stuff, and we've already talked about it, so they'll know. But just to give them some insight, your restaurant has been around how many years now?
Now since 92, 24 years, I guess.
And it is a very, very popular place. I mean, I know you're very modest, but it's very popular. A lot of people talk about it.
I'm super famous. I used to be number two on Zagat, and number one was the best of the world. So I was kind of surprised because I never know what Zagat means. I don't know what all the other guide knows about. I don't care about the guide because I used to do that for my friends and for my people. So nobody looks at those things, actually.
Yeah.
So I was surprised that people was coming here with a copy of the book that they read about me. And they were it's fun because now, the best part is now, because all my clients, they come here and they make me compliments for the way I receive them, for the way they make me feel, because they feel comfortable, they feel home. And also it's fun because they tell me, you don't know probably, but like seven people that I met in New York, they all told me all the same to tell to come here. 7 on 7, not 7 on 20.
Yeah.
And also they said, so it must be true, because if 100% of the people that I know tell me this is the best place, it might be something that I don't know about.
Sorry to cut you off. Real quick.
No worries,
how do you stay humble within that? Because I mean, you come off like a very gracious, humble guy, and I don't know you personally, but I feel like it's very genuine, and obviously it must be if you're able to be this successful. How do you maintain – do you remember a time during the biggest – because I realize the restaurant business, there are peaks and there are valleys, and it's hard to keep momentum going, especially when it becomes like trendy and then the audience wants to find somewhere else. How do you sustain a balance for yourself and stay true to you, which I know is a big deal to you?
For myself?
Yes, and the business.
First of all, because I mainly work every night, and every night the only things I think about is trying to make happy people.
Yeah.
And it's not so easy because unfortunately many ignorant people are around.
Yeah.
And they sometimes come here just because they want the shitty things they get home, like spaghetti meatballs or Alfredo stuff, which is non-Italian stuff.
Yeah.
So when they come here, they expect to find the things they have home. I tell me in advance, I'm so sorry, guys, but I cannot please you because I don't have those things because we don't do that in Italy. Tonight, somebody was looking for pasta with cream sauce. I said, maybe in jail, not in my restaurant, because cream is the worst things. When we find creams in the restaurant, we get somewhere else. You know, maybe in French, we don't know where to do it, but we don't like it at all. Maybe in the 80s for kids, you make a pasta with cream and ham and peas just because it was cheaper. But that's the worst things you can do to your body, you know?
Yeah.
And also to your taste, because with cream, everything good sounds good. Mm-hmm. It can be bullets or like a screw, whatever you want. You know, you can cook with cream. Everything is the same taste.
Sure.
So everything sounds good, but it's not food. You know, the food must be exactly the taste of the food. You know, I like the pasta with mushrooms, taste of mushrooms.
Yeah.
Not of cream and mushrooms. And that's for the fish, that's for the meat sauce, whatever it is.
I had pear ravioli you guys do?
The pear ravioli is an invention of my father that at the beginning was very shy. So he made it in the morning with the old woman that's still making me pasta here with me. And then says, Soldano, tell me if your friend's going to like this food.
So amazing.
That's the question my father always did to me. He was trying to make me taste stuff, say, you think your friends like it? Because at the beginning, here were just my friends. Some friends of him, but they were too old, so they was just coming once in a while. My friends were here all night, every night, because they were hanging out on the disco, the bush, or whatever.
Yeah.
So every night, we were like packed of friends. And so he was cooking for my friends like he used to do in the villa where my friend was coming for parties, you know?
Yeah.
So it was the same things, just the villa was, you know, put it here in the restaurant. That's what happened, you know?
I love this. Let's rewind. Okay, this is so good. All right, so
it's just true. That's all I can do.
So you're like you're a good-looking dude. You're this gregarious young man, and now you're in the restaurant business, and you're kind of like a fucking rock star, man. Like, because you have good fashion. Like, you have your own. And I remember asking you, because I'm an inquisitive guy. Like, when I go places, I like to talk to people that I think are interesting. And I saw you wear a ton of metal bracelets and rings, and you have this. And you know what's funny is like Steven Van Zandt wears a lot of like kind of stuff like that too, in a way. Not like you, but
that's why he always want a picture with me. Every time he comes, he want a new picture with me with all the bracelets around his arms. He's next. He's so funny.
He's great. He's a great dude. So, how did you figure out a way? Not figure it out, because I think you already had it. But you're this guy I feel like you're a guy who has a lot of different tastes through fashion, through whatever. And I'm assuming you're a youngling guy, but I'm assuming like you were kind of coming up into your own, like in your. Like kind of the happening times, like the late 80s, early 90s. I mean, this is an era where I feel like you could really go out and stretch your wings. Was it hard for you to choose to stay home and work with your father? Was there anything else you wanted to do that, you know, I mean, is this always what you wanted to do?
I mean, no. I've been dreaming to do so many other things, actually. Me and my father, we start these things like, because the beginning, I have to say that an old friend of us from Florida, that was the real big, before the restaurant, he asked us to go to manage, in the time, Donald Trump used to have a place in golf place in Miami or whatever. It was like Boca Raton, I don't remember.
Yeah.
A place like that. I was young. And he says, please, can you come and cook for us in that place? So my father says, Soldano, you want to go there? I say, I'm always going to go to U.S. Let's go. So I say, okay, let's start here. Let's see what happened. And if you're able to, we can go there and manage a place for such important people. Because, you know, the time was like, you know, for us was a very new thing, the U.S., whatever. Yeah. So we start here like a game because there was like a small club where you need a, you know, like a special card to get into it. Otherwise, the police was making me problems for the taxes off, all this bullshit like this.
Yeah.
So it's been like a war, you know, it's been an experience since the beginning. But it's been nice because me and my father, we grown up here inside together because mm-hmm. he knew how to cook, but he never knew how to manage a restaurant really and how to cook for 100 people. He liked to cook in his house what he wants, but not to make everybody happy with their own taste.
Yeah.
You know, my father was, you know, my father... I think he was a real prince because he never cared about the money. He says, Soldano, let's do something. I do everything, but you ask for the checks because I feel so uncomfortable to ask for the money because I cannot ask money to people that are happy. They're already happy. I'm already paid. They don't care about money. So I was making all the checks by hand. So I was making a mess at the end of the night. I was working for free, actually, because I was making the worst situation. You know, now I have a machine. By the time, it was the most incredible situation. And so we were, just to tell you the feeling that we used to have when we do it. My father was just trying to make people happy.
Yeah.
And he never asked money to anybody. And when somebody did it to him, like, Prince, give me the checks. He was like, I was not there. Okay, next time. Because he was feeling, you know, like embarrassed to ask money because it was not his culture. It was away from his way to live.
Yeah.
So it was like we learned how to make everything, to make things happen, make things works actually, you know, because it's difficult. Then before it was just me and him, then we start to have employees and people because it's too much work.
Yeah.
So just to make everybody to communicate the feelings with the clients they supposed to have, I hope, I don't know, you know, so it's been a big work. It's actually still a work for me.
So when you, I can only imagine. So you, the restaurant, when you first opened up, it was in that location and it sat,
yeah.
It sat that many people, still same size, everything. And it was just basically you and your dad and a couple people at that point?
No. At the beginning, it was just me and my dad.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the kitchen, which actually was also a guy that was helping me to wash dishes because he couldn't do it, my father. And I was in the room alone with all my friends coming. So I was making a drama.
Yeah.
And it was so fun. And we were making, but at the beginning it was fun because the kitchen was in the same room now you eat.
Oh, okay.
Before it was half kitchen, half living room, I used to say, like dining room.
Yeah.
You know? So it was so funny because I was fixing up the tables with the clients. And then I was like, Dad, he's ready the steak. And he's, what did you say? Like this, and then was like all the smoke from the kitchen was coming.
So you guys are screaming back and forth at each other. No, and it was like
Dad, move. Don't worry. When he tastes, he will be happy. Yes, but he had to taste it tonight, not tomorrow. You know, because like cooking like home, you know, like a real lord, like a British lord. So it was for me, every night was a nightmare. It was like, you know, the I don't know, like Star Wars, the last you know, it was so fun. So
at what, how many years in are you and your father, will you have to go, fuck man, we have to actually get a business model and bring in other people to work for us? Cause now, man, you got an operation and a half. I mean, you got a lot of shit going on. You got the social media aspect. You got a publicist, you got all this stuff for the restaurant. And it seems like you guys started off and always maintain that kind of inner, we want to do it to make people happy. But at some point, something probably clicked, probably for you, I assume, that, hey, we need to make sure we start packaging what we have properly. You know, when was that moment? Do you remember?
The moment I was trying to what? To decide what exactly?
Where you realized, and maybe it wasn't a big moment. Maybe it was a lot of little moments that accumulated.
Probably, yes.
Yeah, but do you recall that moment where you realized, not that you wanted to, because I don't feel like this is your nature to go, I need to capitalize on this, but everyone needs money.
We never did that. I still don't do it. I'm still in trouble.
And that's probably why people love you. That's probably why people love you, is because you don't do that. But at the same time, you do have things in order over there now. When was that moment where you realized, wow, we're way too busy for three guys? We need to expand.
No. We did it as soon as we see too many people. My father loved to have new people work and share the job with him. He was really old style, you know.
Yeah.
He always liked to have other people that help us. But we start with people that were like students in Florence trying to help us, you know. And so my father put them like to clean potatoes, to do all these things. It was like so much in trouble, you know.
Yeah.
And my father was keep teaching them whatever to do. It was like family stuff. But family, not with my family. Family, me, my father, and all the guys that were working here.
Sure.
It was so fun. And they were trying to teach us what the grandmother told them. We don't care about your mom. You know? Do what we do. We're so, so fun.
Yeah.
So fun. Long day, but fun.
Yeah. So when you – having a restaurant in Florence, it's pretty competitive, right? Because the tourism dollar everyone's chasing.
Mm-hmm.
To last for 20-plus years is pretty significant. What – besides what we already talked about, what's one of the challenges that you faced – just in that area in Florence? Like, I mean, I know people always will come to you, but what do you think is something that has been one of the bigger challenges?
You know, for us, sorry.
No,
for
go
us,
ahead.
It's been very difficult from the beginning because we didn't know that. By the beginning, we find out that all the other restaurants in the center, they were packed because they were giving tip to the doorman of the hotels.
Sure.
You know? And when they came here, somebody, they says, what kind of relation we have the hotels? I said, but I actually have a house. I don't have big relation with the hotels. So what do you mean? You know, that was the real beginning. I said, because usually we get some tip how many people we send. And I look at my father, says, Dad, or we buy good food or we pay them. We cannot do both. You know, so my father says, don't worry, guys. You send the people wherever you like. When they come back, and they probably will be upset because we know the other restaurant, they suck. You know,
yeah.
You send them to mine, to me, you know, and then I make them happy. They probably give you a tip when they get back to you straight, but not by me, because or I buy the food or I buy you.
Yeah.
I buy the food. That's been the beginning of the things that we didn't know how to manage because it was not our idea because we never know about it, you know?
Yeah, marketing's not what you guys do. You guys serve great food and you guys want to give that's what you do.
You know, I still doing something that somebody says you shouldn't do it, but I still like to do just the real food that I like to people.
Mm-hmm.
That was about the meatballs and the shit that people ask me for.
Yeah.
You know, I just do the real food and I treat people like real clients, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to make them feel really homey, but not in the fake way just because they leave me tips. Just because,
yeah,
I like people that enjoy their time.
Yes.
So the people after that, they keep coming to my place. I'm the only restaurant in Florence, I think, they have fixed clients. And in all the other restaurants, the people come and go just because they're passing by or somebody send them. You know, even tonight, I have like 30 tables. They used to come here like one says, I used to come here 20 years ago, 11 years ago, 10 years ago. And the other was my grandfather told me, many of them was funny because they were saying, like, my daughter used to come here for the broad. She told me the only good things to do in Florence, coming to your place.
You
know? And the best times for me has been when a big hotel called me and says, Soldano, there is a famous person that want to have dinner with you. He's your friend. And I says, I don't know such a famous person. Who is it? He said, the doorman, I cannot tell you because he's in front of me, but please find a table for him because when you see him, you know, you recognize him 100%.
Yeah.
I said, okay. So I went to a friend of mine that was eating. I said, you finished. Get the fuck out of here because I need a table. He says, what's going on? I don't know. Somebody very important is coming. I had to see him, otherwise I make a good bad scene. So please finish fast and get out of it. So then, I go to the door, and somebody comes. And my father says, Soldano, there is some friend of yours at the door, but I don't understand English. So you have to go and talk to him. So I went to the door, and I saw, you know, Metallica, Kirk Hammett.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, he was there. Says, are you Soldano, isn't you? Yes, said it was him and just with the manager. say, okay, I'm here because your friends, I don't remember the name, told me that whatever I had to do in Italy, the only important thing is coming to have dinner with you. So you want to join me at the table? I say, oh, yes, I kind of.
And you're a Metallica guy, right? That's your kind of music, like that. You're a heavy metal guy, or what do you like?
I like Nirvana, I like Pearl Jam, yeah. I like Red Hot Chili Peppers. Came here for 1 week every day.
Really?
Every day for 1 week, because they were making the Shrine before they start the European tour.
Yeah.
In the small theater here. And so every night after midnight, they were coming here. And it was so fun because it happens everything. You know, like the first night, I said, Dad, this is very important. People come here. So my father went to say hi to everybody. And then, you know, Flea?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Flea came to me and said, Sudano, I don't want to talk to your father. I said, Dad, stay away from him. I said, what's wrong? Don't worry, Dad. I don't know. Maybe he's fucked up. I don't know what he said. I know. He said they want to talk to you. I said, okay. So my father went away. He says, okay, that's your friend. You take care of them. I go home. So I go home. My father was going earlier home because he's going to the market to find the real stuff before the other restaurants.
Sure.
He didn't want to negotiate. He wanted to start the good things for him before. And then the other people get at 8 o'clock. The other one arrived. Says, like, goodbye. The stuff for the prince. It was so fun. Anyway, so I start to be with them. The day after, Flea came all dressed up with like a Austrian dress with a bow tie and like a suspender, all the stuff. Say, hey, Soldano, come with the prince. So I call my father and he says, hi, prince, I'm Flea. And my father was looking at me like, well, is it, what the fuck he's saying? No, he said, yes, oh, hi, pleased to meet you. Because my father was speaking English very bad, especially at the beginning.
Yeah.
You know? So we've had so much fun.
So he wanted to dress up to be respectful to your father. He wanted to look.
Yeah. It was like a very common person, you know. I thought he was bringing like a chicken. So it was like, it was so fucking funny.
What happened? You know? So is it just like some people started coming in that knew some people, and next thing you know, I mean, you have so many American celebrities.
That's
and
word
musicians.
Of mouth, because I never
it's just word of mouth,
any,
right?
Any, yeah. Any guy. I never pay anybody.
Shit. Because I mean, I'm coming back to Florence in like a month, and I'm coming to see you. I'm definitely going to be there. Like, I can't wait. I'm going to be there, man. And it's like, what? And like you said, it's one of those things that it's not about the fucking places that people walk around in Florence and just go, I got to eat, so I'm going to go in here. People make it you're a destination point. That's amazing.
Yes, because I'm not in a good site, you know, Florence. This is the real center, but that's the Italian side.
Yeah.
So, or you know me, or you don't pass by here because there's no building, there's no museum, there's no bullshit around here.
Yeah.
It's just people that live here. And
it's just fucking you.
Yeah.
It's just Saldano hanging out. That's all it is.
Yeah,
over there.
Like, yes. So if you come here, it's just because you know me, not because you just show up.
Your English is incredible, by the way.
Not true.
I mean, I'm telling you, man. I mean, maybe because I'm impressed just because you speak a second language like that. But you're fucking pretty good, man. Did you learn that throughout university and through?
No. I mean, I was supposed to study that in school, but in English, I was the worst in school. But then once a friend of mine that was living in New York studying the FIT, he called me and said, Soldano, come here. So many women here. The parties are crazy. You have to come because somebody like you here going to destroy the competition. So I went there for a week and I've been there for 6 months. Because it was so fucking cool.
In New York? FIT?
In New York, yes.
Oh, yeah. FIT.
I never been to FIT. He was in FIT. Yeah. I was just there to have parties.
Isn't New York the best, man? I live in New York, and I love it. It's great women. Oh, my God.
Living in Soho, you know? I was living in Soho in 89, so it was like a new world, you know?
So you're this Italian dude from Florence, good-looking guy, and you're learning English in Soho in the late 80s where you can get anything you want at any time.
So fun. We had the best time. It was like every night was a war, you know. We were the only one that get into the disco without women next. You know, when you go in the disco in the line,
oh, you need the women, yeah.
Couples come inside, you know, because they want women and events. And me and my friend says, oh, you fucking Italian, come on, man. So we were like friends of everybody.
That's like a miracle.
Once I was in a place, I don't remember his name, like in Nels or something like that. And they let me pass before Matt Dillon. He said, no, you have to wait. And then let me pass in front of him. I said, sorry, Matty. I've been laughing forever. He was my idol. It was like to see the movie, like the he was like
The Outsiders?
The Outsiders is my favorite movie. Yeah.
Really?
The Outsiders. That's an amazing movie. You know, especially in the time for me, was like a legend. So I said, I'm sorry, man.
Oh, that's a story. is it hard to maintain? I always wondered this because I have a lot of friends that are in the service industry. Is it hard to maintain relationships when you work the kind of hours you work? Because, you know, you work till 1 in the morning every day. So it must be hard.
Actually, let me tell.
Yeah, it must be hard, right?
It's very hard, but I enjoy to live in the night. For me, it's not a problem.
No, I love it too, because I'm a comic and I work late. And luckily, I found a woman that understands that, right? A lot of people, especially in this day and age, they're not very understanding. I don't know how it is out in Italy and in Florence. Is it easy or hard to maintain relationships with the kind of schedule you work and the kind of demands you have for your business?
I mean, in my life, it's kind of difficult. The only good stuff that they're always coming for dinner, that's when I can see my friends. Because people here work and they don't come out every day, you know?
Yeah.
Also in Italy, there's no money in Italy. There's too much taxes. So people is not party people like they used to be before.
Yeah.
So everybody, I mean, they leave, right? No problems. But it's not every night everybody's outside, you know?
Yeah.
And now my age, they have kids, they have problems, so it's not as easy as it used to be.
Sure.
But they still come in for dinner, and then we hang out, we stay sitting all night long until late, and we have fun. And then we find a way to see each other still.
Yeah.
No problem.
That's good. That's good. I always think about that, because I'm the last fucking guy that would ever say I would be married, right? And in a month, I'll be married in a month, and it's only because... Oh. I probably found the one person that can deal with the fact that I travel a bunch, that women come on to me when I travel, that I'm on stage, you know, 5 nights out of the week, and I'm not going to be home till 3 in the morning. Now, you name that many women that go, sign me up for that dude, you know?
Ask if she has a sister. I might have made something interesting finally.
Yeah, I'll let you know, man. I'll start bringing American women to you.
Yeah, something cool like this, and I need that.
So you love America. You love America, and you ride motorcycles throughout, like, the Grand Canyon stuff. So
I did much more. When I went to U.S., I shipped my motorcycle. I did 21 states for 11,000 miles.
Yes, Grand that's what you Canyon told me. Yes.
It's a touristy thing. I did everywhere, you know. I know more states than an average of U.S. people.
Sure. Yeah, you do. What got you in? So when do you – have you always been into motorcycles? I know, like, Italy is a Vespa country and, like, all that. But you ride Harleys, man. Right?
Yes, you know, when I was very, very young, like 5 years old, they gave me a dirt bike motorcycle when I was that age. That's mm-hmm. when I started to ride motorcycle, but not very much because I was too young. My mother was yelling at me, so I just started. Then my father, before we had the real age to do it, he was taking us to the countryside again, and he bought some motorcycle, like a dirt bike, to stay in the country between the grapevines. You know, so we started to do motocross there when we were like 10 years old. And since then, I never stopped. Now I ride Harley because I like Harley for me is like a meditate situation because I don't like to race because race is good just on the trail, not in the street. It's boring. You know?
Yeah.
You all get to manage with somebody retarded on the street, so I don't like it.
Yeah.
So with Harley, I like to hear the noise. I like to hear the way that the slow engine goes, like the old Harley, even better, actually.
Yeah.
And then that's the moment that my brain gets free and I can think whatever I like.
I love
And it's the best part because sometimes I have such incredible thought when I'm riding. So I said, okay, if I can write this when I get back, I can make the best book. Then when I park the bike, I forget everything.
It's all lost.
It's all over. So I fuck what I was saying then. So I start to think again. But when I think again, something else coming in my mind again. So every time I have a new book that I forget about it as soon as I park the fucking bike. So complicated life. But still my brain get clean. It's like meditation, you know?
It really is.
It's
so, you know,
nice.
I, and that's what I love. I kind of, you know, obviously it's me telling you how much I love you, which must be great for you. But another thing that I love is that, you know, a lot of people want to bottle something good up and define it and to sell it and all that shit. And I feel like you haven't done that. I mean, I looked at the site and stuff, and I know you guys do a certain amount of promotion, but like you're not shoving a cookbook down people's throat. You haven't sold your own sauce. I mean, I'm sure those opportunities have come along, right?
I don't do these things, you know. Many people ask me to make oil with my name and things with my name. But actually, the things that I use has been done from friends of mine, like vinegar or oil, whatever it is, from friends of mine, and they just work mainly for me because they don't have such a big production. So they put the label of with my restaurant names over it. But I don't even sell it because I don't have enough for me. So I don't know. Sometimes I sell the balsamic vinegar because people come here, please give me bottles.
Yeah.
But that's the best that I can do. I start this year a big investment. I make t-shirts. That's the biggest investment I did in my life. But I sold 10 t-shirts. But, you know, I mean, it works.
But I will wear a t-shirt. I will buy a t-shirt and wear it on stage
when you come
to promote.
Here, I give you all the t-shirts you want, man. You don't have to buy anything, man.
I can't wait to wear a t-shirt.
I'd be honored to be worn by you, man. It would be super cool. Don't worry, man.
This is going to be hard for you to answer. What is your all-time favorite dish that the restaurant had maybe in the past or currently has or whatever, that's your favorite for whatever reason, maybe nostalgia, maybe there's something about it that's special, or maybe just it flat out tastes good. Like, what would that dish be?
My favorite plate, which is actually the most famous because I gave it to everybody, so now I made them become famous. I don't know if people really is the ravioli with pears and cheese.
Love it. That's my favorite dish too. It's
the
best.
I love it a lot. You know, I mean, even truffles is nice because everybody can make truffles. Just buy truffles. But the ravioli with pears, now everybody's copying us. You know, I heard people say, I had them somewhere else. I say, I wonder who made them. You know, but they saw it from us first for sure. But that's I like it so much because I like cheese and I like sweet stuff. So I love to have those things. So I like that.
I that was my favorite dish, so we're on the same page.
Cool.
Obviously, you know what you're doing.
I'm trying, I just do what I like. I told you, I don't try to follow my clients.
Do you? Okay. So I feel like there's some similarities between you and I now that we've been talking for a while, and it's I'm not just saying that. I think that's true. I'm not flattering myself, but I think there are some similarities. And one of the similarities I noticed, like as an artist myself, and I'm not trying to be all corny and call myself an artist. I'm an artist. When it comes to like my jokes, I realize that my jokes are mine, right, on stage. And if a man or another comic steals them, they're not going to be the same because it's coming from me. Do you feel that way about, like, that dish?
That's why I don't have these kind of problems. Because whatever other people makes, what I make is better. Or, and at least it's what I make, so I think it's better. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. But I think what I do is better than what you do. Also because I do it with my taste. You know,
yeah.
Because once I went to a guy that says, now I start to make ravioli with pears, you want to buy from me? I taste them, I said, okay, next life. So far I keep doing by myself. I don't care about your pears, you know. So I still like what I'm doing, at least what I'm trying to do. I don't want to say that everybody do the same stuff, but, you know.
That's
so
it.
I don't care about what the people copy me, they can try.
Yeah, and it's you can't. The reason why they can't duplicate what you're doing, and that's to my point, is that because it's so true to you and so unique to you. And it's not like it's magic. It's you simply understanding who you are, what your business is, and what you do, and it's very natural, and that's all you can do. And you being in the moment, being present, understanding that, yeah.
That's exactly what I do for everything, not just for the ravioli with pears. Everything I do in the way I feel it, and that's the key of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I just do what I am, you know. I mean, I'm not doing things properly. I serve people with 500 bracelets, and everybody told me, are you joking me? People are going to get scared of you. And sometimes the clients come inside. They think they don't know I'm the owner. They think I want to sell them the bracelet. And they look at me like you're looking like a gypsy. Says, no, we don't want anything. I say, you sure you don't want to eat something tonight here? Because you better tell me if you want to eat something, you know? So funny. Every night happens to me so many times.
I love how, because once you see a picture of Saldana, everybody, you'll understand why this is funny. He wears a lot of bracelets. And it's so funny that people want to buy them off you or you think you're gonna sell it to them. That's amazing.
They become a gypsy. You know, they sell roses and they sell watches. They sell bracelets. I say, no, I'm not selling you my bracelets. I buy bracelets. I say, I want to sell you my food. What about that? You know, that's what I'm trying to tell
you. That's
them.
One of my fucking favorite things, man, is I remember when you, because you were sitting, you weren't doing your normal thing. You weren't walking around at the time when I walked in. You were sitting in this like almost throne-like chair in the front area. And I'm like, who the fuck's this guy with all these bracelets? This guy's gonna, is he like the, and then we started talking. I'm like, oh shit, he's in some of these pictures. This is the guy who owns it.
Must be him. Yeah. And the king is on the king. He's staying on the throne.
That's right. You are the king.
I did the Game of Thrones much before Khaleesi or whatever.
Yeah, no shit. You've been the king of you've been the king of bracelets and that throne in that restaurant.
The Silver King. Yeah.
How do you find time to take? Like, when do you know to take time off? Because I mean, in Europe, people take time off, man. It's like a month, right? You get like a month vacation. That's kind of a standard thing.
Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, now I'm doing, I do it when I'm crumbling because I work too much. Because like I'll work like 4 months in a row, every day. And then I need to go away. Otherwise, I don't even remember what I have to talk to the people for, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm getting crazy. So and then sometimes, even if I shouldn't, I go away just because I have an occasion to do something special. You know, like a very famous singer used to say, you have to stock time to live. Otherwise, your life flow away.
Yeah.
I don't know how to translate in English.
No. Yeah, I understand. I think that's right. I think especially for you, that must be a very important thing to not only recharge the battery, but to also live life. Because how do you create if you're not living life, right?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I have to. My brain must be at least kind of fresh. I don't want to say fresh, but kind of, because otherwise, I just say ravioli with pears. Yeah, beautiful. Yeah, okay, goodbye. I have to say something else. And also, people, it's funny here because they come here to. Many people make me interviews, but not just about food. They interview about life, and women come here. Even a friend of mine, they ask me suggestion about what they have to choose in their life, their family, their stuff. Like I'm the old saint of the tribe, which I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
But it happens to me so much often than what I was thought was possible. It's so funny.
You got all that wisdom, man. It shows in your face.
I don't have that wisdom. People think I have it. I'm trying to have them. I mean, I lived it very intensely, not just because the rest of my life is complicated.
Yeah.
But not that well that I can make suggestions to life of somebody else. I mean, at least I don't think so. People are happy, so they keep coming. So my
the more wine you pour, man, the more wine you fucking pour, the more people want to know your secrets and your wisdom of life while you pour wine.
You know, it's so many. You know how many people ask me to write a book?
I can't believe you haven't written a book yet, and I'm glad you haven't. But I think you should eventually. You're a little young.
I don't have time to think because I'm cooking all the time.
Maybe you take a month off. You write the book.
Maybe yes, I should.
Oh, we'll make the movie. Let's make the movie, the Saldana movie.
If I make a movie about this place, you know, all the famous people go home, you know, because you don't know how many things happen in this place. You know, how many characters show up here, because this side of Florence before was a dangerous, not dangerous, but not very comfortable place, because it was just drug addicts here around and so random people. I mean, not dangerous because Florence is not going to be dangerous, but still people that still here. My friends, they didn't like to come at the beginning because they didn't know where to park the car because they were stealing their radio inside the car.
Yeah.
Because
a lot of petty theft in that area, right?
The 80s, 90s stuff. Now is a good area, Four Seasons set up next to us, you know?
Yeah.
And even with them, I had the best satisfaction because one day the boss of Four Seasons came here before they opened. And he came here, says, I have to know the prince, blah, blah, blah. Say, hi, it's me. Are you? Okay, we have to talk about something. And I was like, who are you? I didn't know him at all. He didn't open yet. So, you know, are you going to be the prime manager of Portis, blah, 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 blah. So, it would be a pleasure. We might work together at all the most important hotel in Florence and people, blah, blah. You just say, yes. But I want to know you before because I was having a convention in Las Vegas about all the Four Seasons of the world. And he was like, he's like 7 years old, so he knows everybody in the company since ever. He was managing the one in Milan. He opened the one in Russia, so he's considered one of the most important. And he says, sorry, sir, but what happened? When I talked to the number one, the Four Seasons of the world, I told him that I was opening in Florence. And he said, oh, I'm glad you opened Florence, because Florence is an amazing city, blah, blah, blah. Where are you going to open? And I said, I'm going to open in Borgo Pinti. I said, Borgo Pinti? But where is Borgo Pinti? And I start to tell him. And then he says, but wait a second. You're close to La Giostra. Yes. Oh, wonderful side of Florence. He said, La Giostra? Who the fuck is La Giostra? I said, but it's the best place in Florence. I never heard about it. I go to Pinchiori, you know, the most famous place. No, the best is done. So he said, he came here just to know who I was because he was number two after me, you know. So fun. I love that.
That's great.
So much. You can call him and ask him. Eh? You're gonna tell him.
Let's call that fucking guy right now. I'm gonna go give him a call now and
call
say we're
Mr.
friends.
Call Mr. Cipollini and ask him. He's my friend. He's the best.
I actually met a guy. I met a guy here in Astoria, who's from Florence, who runs a restaurant, and he knows of you. because I mentioned you. I was about to do the interview. I got a cappuccino there, and he goes, oh, yeah, I know that guy. I don't remember his name, but I'll find out. Man. But you are a known man. This is no lie. You're the best. All right.
Tourist attraction.
I cannot wait to come see you. I'm going to come see you soon, and we're going to sit down and talk again. It's going to be so good.
Anytime, man. It'd be a pleasure.
What I know you have some plugs here. What's the Instagram and the Twitter? Like, where can people follow the restaurant?
Okay, the girls tell you because I can read that thing.
Yeah.
It's at La Giostra, Firenze.
Okay.
At La Giostra, Firenze.
That is Twitter?
And Facebook is just La Giostra.
Okay. So that's the Instagram was the first one, and then the Facebook is just the restaurant name.
I guess so, yes.
Saldano, thank you, my brother. Thank you. I can't wait to see you in a few weeks. You're awesome, man. Hope you enjoyed it. If you're listening, you're the dude. You're the man. Thank you again, Mallory. Thank you. Make sure everyone goes and follows La Giostra on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. La Giostra Firenze. But yeah, you can just Google it, and all that stuff will come up too. If you're in Florence, you definitely have to go to the restaurant. The pear ravioli, he is not fucking around. It is amazing. So do that. You should be traveling anyways. And if you've been to Florence or you're going to Florence and you haven't been there yet, you got to go. All right. So that's the show for today. I want to start out by thanking everybody for listening. We have a lot of cool stuff coming up. I'm working on a couple other shows, all stemming from this show. So for those of you that have listened since day one, you are part of something that's building to a bigger thing. Which I hope you feel proud of, because you're just as much a part of it as I am, in the sense that, I mean, I'm doing all the work, but whatever, you're listening. So I hope you guys are having a wonderful week, and I hope you're enjoying all the shows we're putting out. As always, you can follow at Josh Accardo on Instagram, Twitter, and you can look up my fan page, Josh Accardo, as well as at Slampig Podcast, hashtag the SP Podcast. All right, and that's it. That's it for me. I'm done. So enjoy the rest of your week, and I'll talk to you guys soon.